praise the Lord. Thank God for Jesus. Praise God. Thank God for another opportunity to come and share with you the precious words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Truly, the Lord is worthy to be praised. Praise God. I am Pastor James A. Dansby of Great Commission Fellowship here in Birmingham, Alabama. Praise God. Coming to you once again on this Sunday morning. Praise God. The 31st day of October, the last day in the month. Praise God. We thank God for another opportunity just to be able to share with you what thus saith the Lord, what he has put up on my heart this week to kind of relay to his people. And praise God, I'm just honored. I feel so honored that God has chosen me to deliver his word. Praise God. But he's the answer, though. Christ is the answer to all of our problems. And praise God, you know, we have only to trust in the Lord and depend on him to help us through the dilemma that we're in today. And but, you know, we trust everybody but the Lord, though. We trust the scientists. We trust this person or that person. We get together the brilliant people to try to help us solve the problems we have. But look like we omit the Lord, don't we? We omit the Lord each and every time. Praise God. That's a great mistake there to omit the Lord. But praise God, we have a word for you today. Amen. Praise God on this Sunday morning. Praise God. Turn with me to the book of Joshua. You're looking at the book of Joshua this morning. Praise God. Joshua, second chapter. And again, I do encourage you, look with me. Don't take my word, anybody's word, for what thus saith the Lord. You look, you see for yourself. Amen. We're going to look at two passages of scripture this morning. Joshua 2. We're going to begin at 18. And then we're going to look at Hebrews 11. One verse in that Hebrews 11. But let's start out with Joshua 2, 18. And it reads thusly, behold, when we come into the land. We don't talk about Joshua here now. Thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. Verse 19 says, and it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his own head. And we will be guiltless, is what the spies that went out said here. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be upon our heads, if any hand shall be placed upon them. In verse 20, it says, if thou utter this our business now, then we will be quit or released of this oath that we have made here, which thou hast made us to swear. In that last verse, 21, and she said, according unto your word, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. Now, let's look at Hebrews 11, that Hall of Faith chapter there. Hebrews 11 and 31. And it reads, by faith, the harlot Rahab perish not with them that believe not when she had received the spies with peace. Let's pray. Father, we bless you today. Lord, I thank you for another opportunity to come to share your word with your people. Now, Lord, I pray, Father God, that you, by your spirit, Lord, will speak through me, Father. And Lord, let your anointing be upon the speaker as well as the hearers today. Lord, that your word will not return void, but it will accomplish that for which you have sent it. And Lord God, we'll give you all the praise. We'll give you all the glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now we're going to take our subject from that 18th verse there. Joshua 2:18. And this is what it says here. Behold, when we come into the land now, these are the spies talking to Rahab here. When we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou did let us down by. Line of scarlet thread. Well, our subject is going to be Christ, our scarlet thread. Christ is our scarlet thread. Now, today, praise God, we are looking in, and praise God, well, hopefully We're going to learn today a little bit more about the Lord and as he deals with another woman here, another woman. I think on the last message we dealt with a woman, but we're going to deal with another woman today of a questionable character. We'll call it that. Her name is Rahab. Praise God. She's one of four other women mentioned in the genealogy of our Lord in that Matthew 1 there. She's one of four that are mentioned, four women now in that line of Christ's genealogy. The first one we saw was Tamar. Tamar, she was guilty of incest. Slept with her father-in-law and had a baby for a father-in-law. Okay, but now she's in the line up there. Is that right? She's one of four, one of these four now. And then there's Ruth. Ruth is in there, who was a despised Moabite. She was a Moabite woman, and the Moabites were despised by God and by all of God's people. And then there was Bathsheba. Bathsheba's in the lineup. Praise God. She was an adulteress. Yes, she was. And if we add all those women in the New Testament who were also, praise God, of a questionable character, then we can only conclude that Jesus, praise God, he quite often associated with some heavy-duty sinners, amen? Praise God, of the worst kind. You know, I'm just convinced, really, I'm convinced that if Jesus had to make a choice between going to the house of a bougie, you know, or just a rank sinner, he probably would go to that sinner's home. But now, you know, he went to the scribes and Pharisees' home, but now he went there to teach them, you know, to teach them and to show them what the truth was. But he was very, very, very comfortable in the home of these people that were called rank sinners. But now Rahab is in the genealogy, as we said, and along with Ruth, and but you know, these women move right into the family, right into God's prime family there. These are King David's great grandmothers here, Rahab and Ruth. These people are in that royal bloodline, and they were sinners. Praise God. Don't you make you feel good to know that there is no sin that you could be involved in that your Lord won't come and see about you? Amen. But now, most of us are familiar with the story of Joshua and how he sent the spies out to spy out that city of Jericho. And when they entered that city, they found shelter in the house of Rahab the harlot. And they keep on calling her, they always say harlot, Rahab the harlot. And see that in Joshua 2 and 1. Now, she was an ungodly woman. I say was now, because something happened to her. She was an ungodly woman. Amen. She living in an ungodly city. Praise God, Jericho was an ungodly city. God hated Jericho. As a matter of fact, she was a prostitute and a madam at the same time. Praise God. She operated a house of prostitution right there in the entrance of the gate on the wall there. Praise God. But now, she was not a direct descendant of Abraham, but she lived in this cursed city here among a cursed race of people who were earmarked, always earmarked, praise God, by God for total destruction. God always spoke of them in a manner of, you know, they must be destroyed. But now, from my study in God's word, you know, these years, I've learned that Rahab is just the kind of person again. She's just that kind of person that God saves. While the world and its self-righteous people that are in the world, they'll turn their nose up at people like Rahab. Oh, yes, they would. Right? At the very mention of her name, you know. But now our Lord draws close to her. He drew close to her and spoke words of love and grace to her, comforting her soul, her weary soul. And just as he did, praise God, that woman with that alabaster box of ointment, we dealt with that a few weeks back. Praise God. She anointed his feet. Praise God. But now, and she was a sinner also. And many other sinners, praise God, who were despised during the Old Testament time by the Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes, and all these bougies and so forth. But now, but Christ's attitude toward them were altogether different. Praise God. Altogether different. Look at Matthew 9. Let's look at one instance of his attitude toward these rank sinners. Amen. Praise God. On Matthew 9:11, it says, and when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? And when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Then Jesus said, but go thou, you learn what that means. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. All that you trying to bring me, you can keep that. I want mercy. I'm about mercy, not your sacrifice, not what you can do for me. It ain't what you can do for me, God said. The Lord said, well, it's what I can do for you. Amen. For I am not come to call the righteous, he says, but sinners to repentance. But now, we must understand, first of all, that it wasn't by chance. Listen to me now. It wasn't by chance that the spies came to her house. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't by chance. They were guided there by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit guided those spies to Rahab's house there because what? Why, Pastor? Because she was a chosen vessel. She was a chosen vessel to receive God's mercy and God's salvation. Praise God. This woman of ill repute, this woman with a sordid reputation, but God had her in his book of life. And it is her time right now. It is her time to step forward. Amen? Now, the same was said of the Apostle Paul. You remember Apostle Paul when Ananias, the Lord told Ananias to go and tell his brother, that God had chosen him. But he told Ananias, he's a chosen vessel. He is a chosen vessel. Ananias said, oh, no, not this fellow. The Lord said, he's a chosen vessel. Don't look at vessels. Don't look at what he's doing or what he has done in the past. I have saved him. I have changed him. Amen. From the foundation of the world, Rahab. From the foundation, God chose her. Just like Job Paul, from the foundation of the world, praise God. In that great eternal council, praise God, when God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost got together and decided what they were going to do in this world, in this earth here, praise God. But now it was her fullness of time, in the fullness of time. It was her time, praise God. It was her time to be of that brand. What, Zechariah? I think Zechariah called him a brand plucked out of the fire. God was plucking her out of the fire of sin that she was so enveloped in. Praise God. She was predestined by the Lord to be saved. Amen. To have the power of God take her out of that lifestyle. She was predestined. Amen. Praise God. Just like many of us, myself for sure, I was predestined to do what I'm doing right now, before I was even born, even thought about. Amen. Ephesians 1. Let's look at Ephesians 1, and we're going to look at 3 there. Ephesians 1, look at 3, and, let's read. It said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, without blame, before him in love, having predestined, that verse 5 says, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Praise God. Rahab was chosen. Praise God. She was a chosen vessel. Amen. Praise God. And God had prepared her before they even started that way. Now, look at Hebrews 11 again. Now, Lord, what the scripture that we started out with. Look at Hebrews 11:31. Called this 11th chapter is called the Hall of Fame of Faith chapter here. Look at 31st verse again. And it says there, by faith. The harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. All the people of that city. When she had received the spies with peace. Now, by faith. Now, what did that say to you? To me, it said that she was already saved. Amen. She was already saved. She's already given that gift of faith. Praise God. She was a changed person already. And before the spies even came to her door. Praise God, Rahab was a changed woman by faith. Praise God, she perished not with them that believed not when she received those spies with peace. See, now, before the spies came or arrived at her house, God's supernatural gift of faith. Faith is a gift from God. We don't automatically, naturally have this. You have a type of faith, but it's not what Christ called, and the Bible calls it, saving faith. We don't have that. That's a gift from God. Praise God. A supernatural gift. But God gave it to her. Praise God. The same Holy Spirit that directed Joshua to send those spies into the city, the same Holy Spirit went before them and prepared a safe place for them to lodge. Also, prepared her heart. Because now we don't know exactly when the Holy Spirit might have dealt with her months before they even come into the city. You know, it's like salvation. You know, guys, you know, if you ask me when I got saved, when God saved me, I can only tell you when I realized something that happened. Now, that it might have been months or 2 or 3 months that God had already done this in my heart, in my life. You know, but God had already touched her and prepared her to open her heart to receive these men as they came into the city. Praise God. And it was her time to assert herself, her faith, to boldly, praise God, to assert her faith. See, faith is an action word. You know, you can tell me you got faith, but now if I don't ever see you assert and lift up the name of the Lord, I don't ever see you glorify him or tell people about him, then what kind of faith is that? But she boldly, she acted boldly, praise God, proclaimed her faith in the true and the living God. Yes, she did. As opposed to those pagan gods that were worshipped there inside the walls of Jericho. Now, she asserted and she boldly proclaimed that she believed in the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Praise God. That's real faith there. But God did that. God has to do that in all of our lives. Now, we hear a lot of talk today about people, you know, having faith in God. You know, it's like a, you know, a bell that's been ringing wrong all the time around here. But now I'm going to remind you that true faith from God is not without evidence. You got to have evidence to go with your faith. Evidence. Not without faith has corresponding actions to go with it. Huh? Praise God. Even like Rahab, if your life is at stake. And hers were. Huh? She lied. She told a lie to save God's people, and her life was at stake. But faith is like that. Faith is going to side with God. Faith is an action word. Amen? We see Rahab siding with the people of God. Amen? Even if it meant losing her life. That tells me that she had the real thing. Praise God. She had genuine faith. What about your faith? Do you have that kind of faith that'll stand up for the Lord in the midst of this ungodly world that we live in today? Praise God. Do you have that kind of faith that'll go against the grain, that will tell people, let people know that's not God's way? Huh? That's not the Bible. The Bible does not agree with that. Do you have that kind of boldness? Amen. But now, she did. Praise God. She did. Praise God. Look at Joshua 2 now. Let's go back to Joshua. Look at 2, and I'm going to take it up at verse 2. 2 and 2 there. Let's look at that. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel. They came to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, listen now, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are in and into thine house, for they be come to search out the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them. Oh, Rahab hid them. And said thus to the king, there came men unto me, yes, but I wist not whence they were. I don't know what they had. And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whether the men went, I know not, she said. I don't know where they went. Pursue after them quickly. Go try to catch them. You shall overtake them, she said. But she had brought them up to the roof of a house and hid them with the stalks of flax. Put stalks over top of them, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them, the men of Jericho, the way to Jordan, unto the fords. And as soon as they, which pursued after them were going out the gate, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, Rahab came unto the men upon top of the roof, God's people there. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land. And she said, I know it. I know God has given you the land and that your terror is falling upon us. We're afraid. And that all the inhabitants of the land, they faint because of you. Look at verse 10 there. She said, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you people, when you came out of Egypt and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites. We heard about it. Huh? The two kings that were on that other side over there on the Jordan over here, Sihon and Og, the giants, they were in the giant family, Goliath's family, whom you utterly destroyed, she said. And as soon as we heard these things, our heart did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, listen to Rahab now, the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in the earth beneath. What a testimony. What a great testimony. Praise God. Now, understand this now. Understand this. Let me be real clear here. Understand this. Rahab was not saved because she helped the spies. Again, Rahab was not saved because she helped the spies. Rahab, she helped the spies because she was already saved. She risked death. Now, what she did, her actions were the fruit of her faith. Her actions were the fruit of her faith. Not an effort to obtain faith. Her actions was not her trying to obtain faith. Amen? Even Apostle James, though, he uses Rahab, praise God, her heroic action as an example of one who truly believes in God. Do you truly believe in God today? I know you say you do. Everybody say, oh, I believe in God. Do you really? Do you have some action to go with you? Do you have an action here? Look what James says about Rahab here. James 2. Look at James, book of James. And if you look at 2 there, chapter 2:25, look what he says. Likewise, also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. She was justified, by her works. Her works proved that she had faith already. Amen. Faith already. It was there. Amen. Action. But now, we also find in the scriptures that Rahab's faith was based upon a promise. It was based upon a promise. Look at Joshua 2, and let's take it up at 12. We're going to go down to verse 12 there. 2 and 12. And it says, now therefore, I pray you, listen to Rahab now. Talk to these men from Joshua's camp here. Now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token. I want a token, she says here. And that you will save alive my father and my mother, my brethren, my sister, all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. You want to give me something, give me a token. And the men answered her, our life for yours, if you utter not our business. And it shall be, when the Lord has given us the land, praise God, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. See, now, true faith, this is what Rahab had. This is what all God's saved people have, true faith. True faith always rests upon God's promises. True faith, just as Rahab's faith here is resting here on the promises of God's people here. Praise God. You know, and I rest my faith. I rest my faith. The faith I have, God has given me. This gift of faith I have, I rest it upon the word of God. The promises, and I have some precious promises in God's words. I run over in my heart and mind, you know, each and every week or so. Not, I won't say every day, but I try to often keep these great promises. One of my favorites, John 10:28. The Lord said, I give unto you, it said them in the word of God, eternal life. But I put myself, I give you eternal life. And you shall never perish, he said, neither shall any man pluck you out of my hand. That's mine. That's my promises there. Nobody. You can't unsave me. Huh? I'm saved. Jesus said, you in my hands, and can't nobody pluck me out of his hand. Oh, what a precious promise that is. And I like that Romans 16:20. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under my feet. Shortly, huh? Under my feet. The devil gonna be under my feet. Praise God. Shortly, the Lord's gonna bruise him. Amen? I like that Philippians 1:6 also. He which has begun a good work in me. Praise God. He will perform it. He gonna perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. If the Lord started, he gonna finish it. Now, if you started it, then you gonna have to finish it. Amen? You will have to finish. But now, I didn't start this journey I'm on here. The Lord started. The Lord called me. Praise God. I wasn't looking for the Lord, but the Lord was looking for me. Why? Because I am and was the lost sheep. Amen. Praise God. I like that. I like 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Faithful is he that called it me, who would also do it. He called me. He's faithful. He's going to prepare me. He's going to give me the word to share with you. This word that I've been sharing with you over and over again, God gives it to me. And he's going to continue to give it to me until my time is up here. I like that Hebrews 13:5-6. I like that too. Let your conversation, the Lord tell me, be without covetousness. And be content with such things as you have. For I have said, what you say to me, Lord, I'll never leave you. Praise God, not forsake you. Oh, Lord, I love that. Then Hebrews 13:6. That's my. So that I may boldly say, what can I boldly say? The Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I won't fear what man do. I won't fear what COVID do. I won't fear what nobody try to do for me. Because if God be for me, praise God, who can be against me? I'm on the Lord's side. Praise God. And God is not a man that he should lie. His word is yea and amen. Praise God. But now, these are some of my favorite promises. I'm sure you got a catalog of favorite words, that promises that you like to kind of chew on and squeeze some of that marrow out of it. Praise God. Praise God. But these are some of my favorite. I encourage myself with these scriptures and many, many more. But now, back to Rahab. Rahab's faith was in the Lord Jesus Christ, her Redeemer, who is here called the Scarlet Thread. Christ is called the Scarlet Thread. Hanging upon that wall, look at Scarlet, you didn't get that, did you? You didn't get that. That went right by you, didn't it? Christ is the Scarlet Thread, hanging from the wall. Between Rahab and those spies, binding them together, praise God, in covenant mercy. Just as Christ's blood, praise God, binds all of his blood-bought children to him. Praise God, we're bound one to another at the same time. Oh, praise God, I love the word of God. Praise God. Look at Joshua 2:18. Come on, go back over that way. Flip back over and write them down, jot these scriptures down, because you know, you can go back over these scriptures again, and God will even give you even more of a revelation. Let's call it revelation. Praise God. I believe he will if you diligently seek it. Amen? Joshua 2:18. He says, behold now, when we come into the land, then what the servant said, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread. Bind this line of scarlet thread in the window. Hang it from the window which thou did, the same one you let us down by. Same one. You let, oh boy, that's another word there, isn't it? Oh, yes it is. Look at Joshua 2:21. And she, Rahab, said, according unto your words, so be it. And she sent them away, sent the spies away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line, hung it there out the window. That's where her hope is. Her hope is there. I'm going to be saved. This scarlet line, praise God, our symbol, our picture of Jesus Christ. There's no other name under heaven whereby we can be saved except the name Jesus. No other name. Amen. The scarlet color, praise God, it represents the blood. It represents the blood of Jesus Christ. That blood that washes away our sins. Praise God. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood. What the song said, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Praise God. Isaiah 1:18. Look there for a minute. Now, Isaiah 1:18. We said it's scarlet color. It represents the blood. Praise God. The same blood that, of Christ that washes us from our sins. Isaiah 1:18. Isaiah says there, come let us reason together, saith the Lord. That's what the Lord said. Come let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Scarlet sins can be washed away by the blood of Jesus. Amen. Look at 1 John 1:7. 1 John 1:7 says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son. 1 John 1:7. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. All sin. The blood. Amen. The gospel of Jesus Christ cannot be faithfully, truthfully preached without including the blood. You can't be, you can't really say you preach the gospel of Jesus if you don't really preach about the blood. Now, sadly, in most of our churches today, you only hear about the blood, maybe a little of it on Communion Sunday. Amen. And that's because the world has redefined sin. And the church has accepted this new definition of sin today, canceling out the need for preaching of the blood today. I'll never forget. It's been a few years now, but one of the churches of the Methodists or the Presbyterians, one of those denominations, they decided in their annual meeting that they were going to take all out of the hymnals, all of the songs that had any connotation about blood, they were going to remove them out of the hymn book because the people, the bougies, the people were offended. They were so offended. You know, now, if you're a true believer and you're sitting up in a church like that, you know, you should have left. You should have left. You're going to take the blood out. You're going to take the blood. When all through the Old Testament, all it talks about the sacrifices, the shedding of blood, and you're going to take the blood out, and you're going to sit there in a church like that? God help you. That's all I can say. God help you. But now, again, praise God, we don't hear much preaching about the blood today because what? The world has redefined sin. The church goes along with it. Amen. Counting out the need for the blood to cleanse us anymore. We don't need it. See, yesterday, murder and abortion, they were sins. Huh? Yesterday, not anymore. No, oh no. Yesterday, homosexuality was a sin, but not anymore. Oh no. Yesterday, stealing, lying, they were sins, but not anymore. Yesterday, adultery, fornication, these were sins, but not anymore. Praise God. So the preachers no longer, no longer preach about the blood of Jesus. Because people today are, you know, they all just basically good. That's what they say today. People are basically good. They just need a little motivating. They just misguided. You know, that's all it is. They just, but basically they're good people. They need a little motivating. We just need to motivate the people. Don't beat them down talking about sin. Don't beat them down about that. And so what do we have today? Praise God, the gospel preachers, real gospel preachers are dying breed today. Our pulpits are mostly filled with motivational speakers. That's what you got, motivational speakers. Titillating the itching ears of their congregation. That's all you got. That's all you got. Paul, look at Paul. What Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:18. 1 Corinthians 1:18. Paul says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But to us, hallelujah, glory, to us which are saved, it's the power. The blood is the power. Now, when I see the blood, praise God, I pass by you. Amen. Galatians 6:14. Paul says, God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Praise God. Amen. Without the shed of the blood, there's no remission. There's no, we can close the door to these churches. Praise God. But now, as we prepare to close for this morning, let's look at how miraculously God kept his promise to Rahab. King David's great-great-grandmother. Good Joshua 6 then. Look at Joshua 6 there. Joshua 6, and we're going to look at 20. 6 and 20. And it says, so the people shouted when the priest blew that trumpet. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the walls fell down flat. So that the people went into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox, sheep, ass, with the edge of the sword. But now look at 22. But Joshua had said, before they took the city, had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house, bring out the woman, get them out of there, all that she had, and you, as you swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in, brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brethren, and all that she had. So now God kept his promise, The wall came tumbling down, and the people in the city were destroyed. But she and her family were saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved in your house. Praise God of the Bible. You stand on the promises. Stand there. Your house. Praise God. You live upright before God, and God promised that he'll move in the house. Amen? Now picture in your mind just a minute as we close now. Picture in your mind just a minute. Jericho is a picture of the world. Yes, it is. Rahab, she's going to be a representative of all the saints of God, okay? The world and Rahab here. Now, at the end of Jericho, and the end of the world that we live in, praise God, similar things will happen. Did happen in Jericho, will happen again. What's going to happen? The trumpet's going to sound. Praise God, the trumpet shall sound. It sounded then, it's going to sound again. The trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise up first. Praise God. Then the people shouted. What a great shout. Don't shout again, too, y'all. There's going to be some more shouting going on when the Lord come back again. And all those man-made walls fell down. And all the man-made walls and petitions, all your excuses going to fall down. When the Lord comes, all that stuff going to fall down. All these God haters going to be destroyed. Just like all the people in that city, they were destroyed. It's going to happen all over again. Amen. And Rahab, her reward was she became a part of the family of God in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. David's great-great-grandmother. Praise God. What a blessing. What a blessing. But now she's in the family of God. Amen. Dwelling in the promised land with her Joshua Jesus. Joshua Jesus. Same thing. How many of y'all know Joshua means Jesus? Yes. Praise God. She's dwelling with them now. And praise God, that's where I'm headed. Praise God. I'm headed that way myself. As soon as God get through using me down here. Amen. You see, it doesn't matter whether you are a harlot like Rahab or whether you are despised by men, rejected by the world. It don't matter. If you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and bind upon your hearts his scarlet blood. Oh, let his blood hang from the window of your soul. Praise God. When that judgment day comes, it's coming. The Bible says appointed unto man wants to die. And after that, the judgment, it's just a judgment day coming. You better hang that scarlet line down. You better have the blood of Jesus Christ upon your heart, mind, and soul. Because Jesus said to his people in Egypt, when I see the blood, I'll pass by you. Oh boy, I'll pass by you. My question to you today as we close, when God looks into the window of your soul, will he see the scarlet thread? Will he see Christ? Hang in there. Praise God. Christ crucified. Will he see that? Signifying that you have repented of your sins and have been dipped in that fountain that's filled with blood, the song said, that flow from Emmanuel's vein and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Will you be in that number? Will you be in that number? That's what God's question for you today. That's God's question to you today. Will you be in that number? Praise God. Father, I bless you. I thank you this morning for the opportunity to share your word with your people. Now, Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit. Father, I've done what you put in my heart to do it, to say. Now, Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit will come now and seal it to their hearts. Lord, bring conviction upon those who need convictions. And then, Lord, give some hallelujah to the ones that need some lifting up right now. Oh, God, I thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Praise God. Now, if you like this video, go over, hit that like button, and then you can subscribe over here, and then when we come back again, you'll be notified. Amen. Praise God. And remember now, we're on Facebook, we're on YouTube, and we're on Sermon Audio. Praise God. We got most of our materials on Sermon Audio. We've been on there for a long time, and we got a full panel discussion that's been on there for quite a while. Where can you find four black men together? Praise God. Black men together, standing firm on God's word, discussing God's truth. It's kind of a rare situation, but we have it. Praise God. Right here in Birmingham, Alabama. Praise God. God reigns. Praise God. Right here in our heart. Praise God. God bless you until we come again. May God keep you. May God forever watch over you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and praise God.